All right, here we go. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. If you are there, say amen.
Amen.
All right. As I told you, we're going uphill, and so we'll talk about that. Do you not know? You're going to pay attention on this. Apostle Paul talking. Do you not know that the wicked, would you say wicked for me?
Wicked.
That's not a good thing. Not in the Bible. No, wicked. No, that's not like a wicked pair of shoes. No. Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male. If you need definitions on any of these terms, you can come and talk to me later. Because some of these can be a little confusing, but they all kind of fit together. So you can get a hint. It says, neither sexually immoral, nor idolaters, or adulterers, male prostitutes, homosexual offenders, thieves, greedy, drunkards, slanderers, swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that is what some of you were, but you were washed. And you were kind of like the story that Pastor Paul was talking about. That gift you needed, amen? You were washed, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Lord, we come before you this morning. Lord, we look towards a whole new year. Lord, we ask that you would come and, Lord, that you would bring healing, Lord, upon those that are sick, Lord, for Sandra. Lord, for those that are just hurting. Lord, for a family I know just needs a place to stay, Lord, that you would bring provision. And Lord, the wisdom and the ability to go after that and be able to handle it when it comes. Lord, I pray your anointing upon our time, that you would move us through. Lord, let me not get bogged down. There is so much to learn from you. We give you praise for that in Jesus' name. And everyone said?
Amen.
Everyone said?
Amen.
My daughter's not talking, right? There we go. Think she comes from college, thinks she knows everything, doesn't have to listen to her dad. How many of you guys know who this guy is?
Oh, yeah.
Who knows, who does not know who this guy is? One, two, everybody else. Just two people. I'm serious. If you don't know who he is, put your hand up. All right. How many of you have, well, obviously everybody else knows who he is. This is the patriarch, I guess you call him, of the Duck Dynasty clan, who have the most popular cable TV show, 14 million viewers, and got in trouble for quoting the verses that I just read. And that is why I read them. I have another reference to some similar verses in Galatians at the end, but I wanted to share that because he was being interviewed by GQ. How many of you have heard of GQ?
Yeah.
Yes, GQ was talking to him about his religious beliefs, and he started talking about homosexuality and lying and stealing and murdering and doing all this kind of stuff. And the homosexual community, they didn't like it. And the network is A&E. And so they suspended him from the show. Now, they had already taped 9 shows for the coming year out of the 10. So it wasn't going to have that big of an impact. But they wanted him to apologize. They wanted him to retract his statements. And he said, I'm not retracting anything because I was reading Scripture. Now, he went ahead and made some illustrations of what he was talking about that were his. But he said, hey, I'm coming right out of the Word of God. And he got suspended. Now, that caused, they were getting paid, the whole clan, the whole cast, getting paid $200,000 an episode. Total. So that's a little bit of cash, you know, and the grandkids are in there, so they get a little bit of money for college or whatever. And they're making these duck calls, and they're getting big money anyway. But the merchandising, I mean, they got all this Duck Dynasty stuff that goes on sale at Walmart and everywhere. And he wouldn't back it off. He said, no way. And the end of last week, they recounted. A couple days ago, they said, okay, we're going to lift the suspension because they're getting so much heat. But I bring this up because we are in a time when Christian values are not loved so much. Amen?
Amen?
that there is an attack that comes against Christians. But really, all the attention on Phil Robertson is rather trivial. Because last week, my eyes were drawn to this. Thousands dead in South Sudan, buried in mass graves. Many Christians, they've got animus and they're fighting, and there is just savagery on a level that I think we struggle to grasp onto. Now, what is amazing is that Jesus prophesied, Jesus predicted that this would happen 2,000 years ago. That there would be a tailspin in humanity that we see a little bit for Phil Robertson reading the text, reading the Bible. But I tell you what, you are living in China, or you are living in the Middle East, or you're living in Africa, you can be killed and murdered and raped for being a Christian. 20,000 dead, they think, maybe in South Sudan. 90,000 dead in the Syrian civil war this year. Our world is just messed up. And we have typhoon in India. We have hurricanes in Mexico. Big earthquake in the Philippines. And Jesus said, it's coming your way 2,000 years ago. We're going to take a look at that prediction, that prophecy in Matthew chapter 24 today. To give you a little bit of a warm up, because we're just kind of jumping in towards the end of Matthew. Chapter 23, Jesus has just blasted the religious establishment of the day. And they are in Jerusalem and coming through Jerusalem. And today we're going to take a look at a vision of the future. Okay? Okay? It's okay, Leanne? She's looking at me now. That's good. All right, here we go. Inquiring minds want to know. I'm glad you want to know. Jesus left the temple and was walking away when his disciples came up to him to call his attention to its buildings. Do you see all these things? He asked. He says, I tell you the truth, not one stone here will be left standing on another. Everyone will be thrown down. As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, which is, you know, a little ways away, the disciples came to him privately. Tell us, they said, when will this happen, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? And they were displaying a false confidence. And as you are walking through the temple of Herod, it would be easy to display a false confidence. They had been working on this structure for 46 years. And you see those little dots? Those are people. Okay? So that's big. Amen? I mean, that is big even by today's standards. Now, they had slaves. They had all kinds of stuff. All those garages or along the edges, you know, the storerooms. Those are all storerooms to all hold offerings and all kinds of stuff. It was just a massive edifice, and the disciples, after hearing Jesus just railing on the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, they said, what about this? I mean, this is something that we can bank on. Look at these structures. They are so awesome. And sometimes we can get our eyes on the wrong thing. Amen? He said, they asked him two questions. They said, because he's talking about, hey, this is going to be tore down. Don't be putting your eyes on the wrong thing. This is going to be tore down. And they asked him two questions. When's it going to get tore down, and when are you coming back? Now, they thought it was one question. They thought he was coming back when all this was getting torn down, but that was not the case. We see that these two questions are kind of tied together, but right now they are separated by 1,940 years. Because the temple was destroyed by Titus, future Caesar, a general of the Roman army, in the year 70 AD. Jesus could be coming back today. 1,940 years later. My question for you today is, are you ready? I mean, are you ready if he comes back on New Year's Eve? I know that, well, they're gone now. But that Yazzie would miss out on her birthday. Hopefully, because you want to go when he comes. Amen? Amen, amen, amen. All right, let's keep going here. False confidence. Let's move on to the path to victory. Jesus answered, watch out that no one deceives you. How many of you want to be ripped off? Jesus said, don't get ripped off. Don't be deceived. Because many will come in my name, claiming I am the Christ. And there are many who will believe. There are many who will be deceived. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars. But see to it that you are not alarmed. You could underline that part if you got your Bible open. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains. Now, that sounds rather alarming. Can I get a witness on that? But that is the path to victory. So if you are heading down the path of victory, you should not be alarmed to see the things that Jesus said are going to be on the path. Can I get a witness on that? It is like birth pains. Now, my wonderful daughter sitting over there ignoring me previously, now paying rapt attention, created quite distress on my wonderful wife at her birthing. 18 hours? I think it was 18. I was there. She was knocked out for part of it. Yeah, man, it just kept going and going. And you know what? Birth pains, right? And now, how many of you ladies just going, oh, yeah, I want birth pain? Yeah. But I tell you what, you start that birth process and the pain stop, whoa, it is time to be alarmed now, right? Because something is wrong. But see, you ladies, I got to just say, you ladies, sorry guys, you don't really participate in this. You ladies undergo those pains because something good is coming. Amen? And so the Lord says, this stuff is coming your way. Don't be alarmed because something good is coming your way. These things have to happen. Don't be alarmed. Rumors of wars, alarming things. Earthquakes, famines, alarming things. Don't be alarmed. Expect them. Don't be surprised by them. He talks about earthquakes. When I was a kid in grammar school, taught us pretty good stuff back in the day, they talked about the Ring of Fire, which is around the Pacific Ocean and all the volcanoes. You guys heard about that before? Public school, yeah, hey, it works, right. All right, back in when we were going to school. And there was all these volcanoes. Because of volcanoes, there was a lot of earthquakes. That's why Japan had earthquakes, China has earthquakes, California has earthquakes, all that stuff. It's like, wow, okay. I did a little check on earthquakes worldwide. Now, think back over the last year, right? Now, these are earthquakes, magnitude 6 to 8. 6 to 8. A lot of earthquakes, right? That's not for the last year. That's not for the last month. Those yellow dots are earthquakes in the last week. I checked out some more. This is frequency of earthquakes over the last 100 years. Oh, my. Now you're thinking, oh, well, you know, they got a whole lot more sensors up there. This is only earthquakes magnitude 6 to 8. And I tell you what, you guys ever been in a magnitude 6 earthquake? It's not like you got to need a little sensor to figure it out, man. You are shaking, and somebody's going to write it down. So back to, San Francisco earthquake was like a 7, 8, something like that. It was written down, amen. Look at that alarming increase from, it's like 19, even you go shorter, you see 70, it just goes up. But you look at the last 15, 20 years, who would say that is an alarming increase in the number of earthquakes? Amen? And what I get from that is the clock is ticking. Now, he also talks about wars and rumors of wars. You think about Syria. You think about Iran, Iraq, Afghanistan. I did a little check on conflicts ongoing in the world today. Wars and rumors of wars. That's a bunch of them. Can I get a witness on that? Don't be alarmed. These things, what? Gotta happen. Be alarmed when they're not happening. Because as these are happening, we see the plan of God working itself out. Amen? Right. The last thing he talks about that's on that list is famine. There is famine today in many places, much of it because of the natural disasters that have happened in the last year. There's still famine in Haiti, but you know what? There was famine in Haiti before they had the hurricane. You know what I'm talking about? I checked it out with the World Health Organization. There is three segments of famine. One is the... I want to get them right for you. Food production. There is a loss of food production. That food production can be lost because of drought, hurricane, all kinds of stuff. You got a flood and all your fields get flooded out. Guess what? Farmers aren't going to grow as much food. Farms don't grow as much food. People don't eat as much food. Tracking with me. All right? Then there is the ability to access food. If you got no vehicles, if you got no roads, you can't get yourself to the food, like in China, where they got like a whole big section of China just gets demolished and there's no roads, those people are starving. Why? Because you can't get food to them. They do airlifts and all that kind of stuff. Two issues, right? You've got lack of food, you got food production, you have access to food. Third thing is government. Third thing is the ability of government and organizations to come and bring food. Now, do you think that there is a shortage of food worldwide? There is not. You got all kinds of people that would bring food. And what gets in the way oftentimes? People who want money. Right? Bringing all that food into Africa and all that stuff. And you hear about all the stuff that's going in. And the warlords are keeping it all and selling it. Well, I'll tell you what. That'll dry that food right up. Amen? You tracking with me on this? And so what you have is in the famine today, oftentimes, the same reason we have wars is the same reason we have famine, because the governments are not doing what they're supposed to do. But don't be alarmed, because these things must happen. Amen. Ain't going to be fun, but it should be expected. Amen? All right, let's go. All right, living in a time of persecution. Who wants to live in a time of persecution? Oh, yeah. Sign me up. I want persecution. No one signs up for persecution. This is Jesus talking here. If you look in Matthew chapter 24, it's red. All right? Then you will be handed over to be persecuted. How many think Jesus is lying? Oh, he's just lying. No, so when you get persecuted, don't be surprised. Don't be alarmed. It is expected. You will be persecuted and put to death. Oh my. Guess what you get when you get put to death? You get heaven. Amen. It's like a reward. We were having them pinatas the other night. Kids busted them pinatas. Nice, beautiful pinata. They were happy when that thing busted. Why? Candy came out. We get a reward. He says, you will be put to death. You will be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from the faith. Don't be deceived. And will betray and hate each other, and many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of some, what was that? Most? Some of many, most, will grow cold. But, read that with me, he who stands firm to the end will be saved. Don't be alarmed. But don't be dumb. You got to stand. How's your stance today? How'd you do on Christmas? What you're planning for New Year's? You take a look and tell you how your stance is. It says, and this gospel will be And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. Things will be challenging for the church. Look around. Tell somebody next to you, say, you're the church. And say, we are the church. It's not the building. They're going to burn the building down. It's going to be challenging for you and me. And don't be alarmed when the challenge comes. Why? It is to be expected. Don't be alarmed. Where am I at? 2A. Oh, I'm on 1B. Jesus promised this. If you read your Bible, read the book of Acts, this starts coming through. Peter and John arrested in Acts chapter 4 and beaten. Apostles arrested in Acts chapter 5. Paul and Silas arrested, Acts chapter 16. Paul arrested, Acts chapter 21, taken to Rome and being able to testify. And we see 300 years later, the whole leadership in Rome converted to Christianity. And we see from that, out of that, we see the Roman Catholic Church. Pretty massive impact, amen? Amen? You guys see 13 books, 12, 13, depending on who wrote Hebrews, books written by Paul. This gospel is going to be preached. Acts chapter 7, Stephen is stoned to death. Acts chapter 12, James is beheaded. Back in the day, they were handed over and arrested because of the gospel. This man, Saeed Abedini, was arrested 18 months ago in Iran for preaching the gospel. He has been tortured. He has been beaten. He was in this maximum security prison just a month and a half or so ago. He was moved to a different prison in which people just disappear. You will be arrested because of my name. In China, in the Sudan, Middle East, Northern Africa. You ladies live in fear. You're a Christian. Men live in fear because you're Christians. You'd be murdered. Wives be raped. Children be taken. Raised as slaves. Today. Today. There have been more martyrs, more people killed for the gospel in the last 100 years than the previous 1900 years since Christ's crucifixion. Don't think, oh, that's just back in the day. It's a time of persecution. It's a time of testing for the church. And you think, Lord, why don't you just save me from this stuff? Because he wants to see who's for real. See, we got a lot of fake Christians around. They just come to church because George and Dave are barbecuing. Coming because we give away food. It says the love of most will grow cold in that time of persecution. And because of the wickedness, because of the sin that is pervasive. I've heard so many stories of pastors that have had affairs and that the people in their congregations walk away from the Lord because of the wickedness. Love of most will grow cold. Don't be alarmed. Coming. See, God wants to know who's for real. God wants to know who's faking. And you know who's not faking? Christians walking around in China. Christians walking around in Egypt. Christians walking around in Saudi Arabia. I tell you what, you get your head cut off going in many of these places, and you're going to be living for Christ. You're not going to be faking. You might be quiet, but it's going to be real deal. And when you are telling somebody and you are taking your life in your hands by sharing the gospel, that's a real deal, folks. There is testing that goes along in the time of persecution because when Jesus comes back, he wants you to know if you're real because he already knows. Amen? He who stands firm to the end will be saved. I mean, it's not about coming up here and getting baptized. It's not about coming up here and getting prayed for. He who stands to the end will be saved. And it is God's will that none should be lost. Amen? So he sent some persecution your way so you can know. So again, I ask you, how did you do on Christmas? What you planning for New Year's? What are you planning for the next year? Because I tell you what, it can be a year of victory and striving toward the Lord and persecution and trial and challenge. Or you can just be a sellout. All right. Jesus describes the fall of Jerusalem. So when you see standing in the holy place, the abomination that causes desolation, spoken of by the prophet Daniel, let the reader understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let no one on the roof. They'd have patios on the roof. Let nobody on the roof of his house go down to take anything out of the house. Just go. Just go. Time is short. How dreadful it will be in those days for pregnant women and nursing mothers. Pray that your flight don't take place in the winter or on the Sabbath. The Sabbath, the Jews get in the way. No. Don't break the Sabbath. For then there will be great distress, unequaled from the beginning of the world until now, and never to be equaled again. The destruction of Jerusalem, destruction of the temple of Herod. Jesus describes this destruction in detail 40 years before it happened. Maybe 35. That would be like describing the destruction of Sacramento or Washington, D.C., or Moscow in the year 2050. That'd be pretty incredible. Amen? Jesus gives his people warning. Get out of there! Get out of there! Roman general Titus, future Caesar, lays siege to Jerusalem in the year 66 A.D., they're for real, man. The zealots have been fighting them. They put a trumped up governor in, high priest in, and they're trying to battle with Rome. They said, we're done. Vespasian is Caesar. That's Titus's son. Moves in. They lay siege to Jerusalem, and they're trying to close it down. There's aqueducts that supply water to Jerusalem, built a thousand years earlier. They're still working. They got to close all those things off. They've got foraging parties that are going out from Jerusalem at night, trying to get food and all that stuff, bring it in. And you know what that does? It just lengthens the time it takes you to start. You know what I mean? Because now you got a little bit coming in, and now you got people fighting. It's just the terrible suffering and the distress. So Titus gets tired of waiting. And Passover comes, and not the normal amount of Jews are coming into Jerusalem for Passover because of the Romans, right? But there are still some that come, and I mean, normally the population of Jerusalem would triple in size at the time of Passover. So Titus says, come on in. That's fine. Go ahead. Have your feast. Locks them in and won't let them out. Why? They eat the food that much more quicker. Drink the water that much more quicker. So now the suffering just goes sky high. They end up killing everybody in Jerusalem. Before that happens, there are women were eating their children. Now tell me, is that distress? That's far down the road, amen? And that little bit of nurture coming and all that kind of stuff, just the distress and everything, and the food that would come in, they'd fight for it. It was just terrible. And so the Romans finally broke down the walls, and they came in, and they just killed everybody. Amazingly, all the Christians fled Jerusalem in 68 because of the warning. It's a good book, amen? Let the reader beware. Now, he says, don't be alarmed, but don't be dumb. Amen? He says, he who stands firm till the end will be saved. How's your stance? Don't be alarmed. Don't be dumb. Take a look, man. Where are you standing? How you doing? Where am I watching? All right. You'll know them when you see them. You will know them when you see them. If those days had not been cut short, no one would survive. But for the sake of the elect is you and me. The elect is the church, those who have been called out of darkness into the light. Tracking with me? For the sake of the elect, those days will be shortened. At that time, if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there he is, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and miracles to deceive even the elect, if it were possible. So it just kept on up here. See, I've told you ahead of time. So if anyone tells you, there he is out in the desert, don't go out. Or here he is in the inner rooms, don't believe it. For as lightning that comes from the east is visible, even in the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. And he says, don't be dumb. Don't be led astray. False messiahs, false messages. There are liars that are coming. There were false messiahs. There were false prophets in the day of the Lord. Acts chapter 8. Now for some time, a man named Simon had practiced sorcery in the city. This is in Samaria. And amazed all the people of Samaria, he boasted that he was someone great.
Hey.
And all the people, both high and low, gave him their attention and exclaimed, this man is the divine power known as the great power. Now, this guy was not doing tricks. He had real power from the devil. And he had a real message. It wasn't a fake message. It was a real message, but it was a false message. And the message was intended to deceive. Don't be dumb. Don't be led astray. If you read Acts chapter 8, you will find that Simon was deceived, that he believed what he was sharing. Don't let that happen to you. The elect can be deceived. You can walk out of here today and you can be lied to, and you can be, somebody will say, oh no, I'm just kept by the Lord. I can be dumb. No! If you can be dumb, he wouldn't say, don't be dumb. You have a responsibility. Amen. It's not like you just come to the Lord and say, I can be dumb now. No. All right, where am I at? Okay. I was going, oh yeah. This is world population statistics on religion. 33% of the world is Christian. 21%, 1.6 billion. Is Muslim. Within that Christian, it includes Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, Apostolics. So all the green is not. It also includes the Assemblies of God. Assemblies of God has, I gotta look. Assemblies of God has 66 million, fourth largest Christian organization in the world. That's what we are. If you didn't know, we are Assemblies of God. Proud of it. But we don't care so much about the Assemblies. We care about the book. And we're lined up with the Assemblies because the Assemblies are lined up with the book. All right? And so the Assemblies aren't lined up with the book. We're just going to be lined up on the book. All right. And there's lots of people that are lined up on the book. A lot of good Christians. A lot of company we're going to have in heaven. Now, the Muslims, they take the Old Testament. And they take the New Testament. Because, as if my memory serves, Muhammad lived about 700, a little less than, maybe six, in the 600s A.D. But the Muslims say, oh, the Jews and the Christians got together. If you read the history, the Jews and Christians did not get together real well. And they polluted all that stuff, so we got the right stuff. So what they do is they take the right thread, and then they take the wrong turn. Don't be deceived. Amen? So you don't want to get down the right road and take the wrong turn, because then you won't be standing at the end. That's why persecution and that comes in the church age is intended to us, so he'll know, he can let you know whether or not you were real or not. You take the Jehovah's Witnesses, they got the Bible, they rewrite a little bit of stuff, and they take the wrong turn. You take the Mormons, they got the Bible, King James Version, they add some extra stuff, they got the real truth, and then they take a turn. False messages, false messiahs, don't be deceived. Why? Oh. Because you want to get there in the end. Jesus is giving a warning to his disciple and to his followers. He who stands firm to the end will be saved. There are lots of ways to lose your footing. You can be deceived, or you can just sin. This is the verse that was very similar to what I opened up with. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy. Drunkenness, orgies, and the like. And the like. Somebody say, and the like. And the like. There's other stuff that's not on the list that are the acts of the sinful nature. I warn you. This is not Jesus talking. This is the Apostle Paul talking. I warn you that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. So I ask you today, how's your stance? If you stand firm to the end, you will be saved. Persecution comes so you can know if you're standing or stumbling. All right, here we go. Jesus is coming back. See, there is a test at the end. He who stands to the end will be saved. How you stand in, not today, but at the end. I'll give you a little hint. If you're standing good today, you've got a better chance of standing good at the end. Amen? Amen. You need some help standing? We can give you help. We got Pastor, you know, I forgot to tell you guys. Pastor Dave, back in town. A little round of applause. Yeah, he was complaining last night. He says, in Sunday in Council Bluffs, it's going to be negative 34 degrees or some crazy number like that. You gave me a place. You looked it up, right?
Yeah, well, this is probably Wilmer, Central Iowa.
Places where he used to live is going to be like negative 30. So today, it's going to hit 71. It's like a 100-degree difference, man. Wow. So Pastor Dave is back. He's going to be starting up the Celebrate Recovery on February 3rd. We are happy that he is here. But we have got Pastor Paul here. Ann is working on her credentials. We've got all kinds of people, Pastor Scott, down with the kids, my wonderful wife, all kinds of people that have been standing in the Lord firm will help you on your stance. Amen? You need some help? Get some help. We don't want you to stumble. That is why we are here. He says, let's see, where am I? I'm on, oh yeah, here we go. Jesus makes a call to his own. He says, I'm coming back in the air. Don't look for me in the desert. Don't look for me in some back rooms. Don't look for me on TV. I'm not going to be a televangelist. I'm not going to be in Waco, Texas. I'm not going to be in, where'd Jim Jones go? Guyana? I'm coming in the sky. I don't know, he didn't say this, but I just see Jesus just riding lightning coming on in, man. Coming in power. That's not in the Bible. I just threw that in. Coming in power and glory, though. He probably don't need lightning. He's got his own. And it says that all the nations of the earth will mourn. Why is that? They're left out. How will they know? How do you know you're in? You know you're in because the Holy Spirit has been calling you. Only reason that you are here today is one, because of George and his grill. Because somebody drug you in, or because the Holy Spirit said you need to know about Jesus. And you have, in your life, become accustomed to saying yes much of the time. And maybe it's just this week you just you said, you know what? Jesus called me into a relationship. I want to have that. We want to show you how to do that. You'd be happy sound, just like them kids. Yeah, it's church time. Let's go. But the world has become accustomed to saying no. When you say, Holy Spirit tugs on your heart and says, go do this hard thing, and you say yes, the Holy Spirit tugs on them and say, no, I got no time. No, I got no time. And no is on their lips. And when Jesus comes in the sky, every no that has ever passed their lips is going to come fleeting through their mind, and they are going to begin to mourn because the testimony of their witness will stand against them, and they will be lost. So how's your stance today? How you stand? How'd you do last week? What are you planning to do next week? Some of you are thinking, I'm doing pretty good. Some of you are thinking, I'm doing pretty bad. But some of you don't know. And some of you are wrong. Great news. We live in a time of testing. So you don't have to have any doubt. At least you can come on up. See, because next week's going to be tough. Maybe not as tough as living in the Sudan, but it's going to get tougher. And you're going to have the opportunity to say yes, or you're going to have the opportunity to say no. You're going to have the opportunity to stand strong or bend a knee to the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and allow Him to guide you through. We can help you. Pastor Dave is back, starting to celebrate recovery. Some of our best leaders are going to be moving into this program. And that leaves opportunities for you to step in and begin to shoulder the burden, shoulder the persecution. Now people say, oh, and begin to throw a little hate your way. And you can say, you can see how you're going to stand. How's your stance? If you stand firm to the end, you'll be saved. I'm going to end with this. On Christmas morning, we have this thing we do, a tradition that we do. And we give gifts to Jesus. We get up and read. Who read out of Galatians? Galatians? And then we read the Christmas story, Luke chapter 2. And then we will go around and we're going to talk about the gifts that we are going to give the Lord that year. I think it started with Lisa. And JJ was there, and Leanne was there, and it got to me. And I said, I'm going to give the Lord a year of dedicated service. And Joe looks at me, scoffing. I mean, he's looking at me like, are you joking? I'm like, what? He goes, Dad, you do that every year. And I'm not trying to toot my horn, but I love that response from my son. I want to be standing. You know, I want him to come back soon because I'm getting tired. My brain doesn't work the way it used to. My elbows hurt. Last prayer meeting, I was down there praying. My knees started hurting. Jesus, come back. Come back. Man, I'm standing. Get here quick. How you doing? Lord, we come before you this morning, Lord, and there are so many, Lord, that are standing firm, Lord. Lord, that you walked into or flew into the room on lightning right now with power and glory emanating from your holiness. Lord, there would be a shout that went up, Lord. There would be a great acclaim, Lord, because we would know in our spirits and in our souls, Lord, that we have stood firm, Lord. And Lord, we would come a running. But maybe that's not you. Maybe the thought of his arrival brings mourning to into your heart. Perhaps you have been playing a game. Bible says, Jesus said, there's going to be on that day those that come up to me and say, Lord, Lord. And he'll say, who are you? Say, hey, we were hooked up. No. You got me mistaken with somebody else. Because I don't know you. I never knew you. I called your name a few times. But you always said no. So you can go away with all those wicked people, you know, be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Good news for you this morning. We live in a time of persecution. We live in a time of trials and testing, and perhaps you have failed the test. And right now the Lord is saying, you got an F. You got an F. Lord's saying, you got a D. That stands for deficient. You're not even making the grade. It is so wonderful to know, because 2014 can be a year of transformation for you. That trials and tests are coming. Training time is here. Don't be alarmed. It's going to be hard. But there is good times at the end when Jesus comes back. Power and glory. You'll be jumping for joy. You won't be mourning. Lord Jesus, we come to you this morning, Lord, as you are mighty and awesome, Lord. And you send us, Lord, the message, Lord, that we might not be deceived, that we might not turn aside, Lord, that we can indeed stand fast to the end. I thank you for Pastor Dave. I thank you for those that are becoming involved in Celebrate Recovery. I thank you for the opportunities that those people moving right here in this church make for other people to step in the gap and to begin to have impact. Have impact. Have impact. Have impact. Have impact. Have impact.